Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 13, episode 24. And this one will be the probably last episode of the year. Unless we record one in between Christmas and the year, of course. Who knows? Who knows with us? We're just crazy. It just seems like seconds ago that we recorded the last podcast.
It did. Time flies.
With Nigel John and, of course, Mr. Russie Budden. And he's joined us again after a long break of episode 23. Welcome back, Russ.
Thanks.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm back in my Budden bunker recording a podcast with you, Sean.
Yeah, excellent. Do you know what? We should have great. You know, none of this drinking or eating or coughing or mute buttons or, you know, dodgy mobile phones. This should be podcast gold, Russ.
It should be. Or from a production perspective, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not get our hopes up too much. Yeah, anyway, what we said is we'd come back for question time. Now, I only put the question up about 20 minutes ago, and there's only about five questions. So we might have to elongate the answers and go off piste, as you know we do on this podcast. But I'm legally obliged to press this button. It's Facebook, Twitter, question time, if I get the words out. See, I can press buttons too, Russ.
There we go, you see.
What do you think of my button pressing?
I've learned from the master, let's be honest.
Yeah. I used to be, I know. I told you, I used to be a DJ in the 80s. In fact, I was a pirate radio disc jockey in the 80s. Until 1984, they made pirate radio a criminal offence. Before that, it was a civil offence. And in the mid-80s, early to mid-80s, I used to do pirate radio. And at worst, it was a civil offence. You know, they used to get fined. But then they made it a criminal offence. I was 16 years old and my dream was shattered of becoming a professional radio disc jockey when they made pirate radio a criminal offence. There you go. True story, bro. True story.
Well, if you made it up, I'd be very, very surprised.
Anyway, I feel that we've got to press this button again. Yeah, it's Facebook, Twitter question time. Now, I'm assuming you don't have the questions in front of you. You're going to have to put up with me answering the questions, which is hilarious. And we've only got five. Let's see. We're going to start with Gary Amour.
Oh, I hope it's like Gary Amour.
Good evening, gents and Russ.
I'm not a gent.
Huh?
You're a gent. And Russ.
Well, yeah, I know. What is your favourite chant from the fans? Russ, I'm going to put in a little word. Are you ever going to bring back My Hammers 11? Was one of the best things about lockdown. Have a great Crimbo. Brady at. I don't do that, but I'm just saying what the question says. Sure. So, your favourite chant from the fans, Russ?
favourite chant. As I said when we recorded the other podcast so long time ago, my favourite chant most recently was the Freiburg guys singing Last Christmas to themselves one else in the stadium. I thought that was absolutely balmy.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And I love the European games. I love the European sides coming. And I think it was Viborg or someone like that. And they were singing songs. And I couldn't understand the language, but I could understand the tune. I remember going to... My favourite one ever was going to Liverpool away years and years and years ago. This was when Gavin Holligan should have scored to make it 3-2. This was like years ago. And I was sat next to some guy and he was a bit drunk. And all he was doing was just shouting, you know, sign-on songs, that type of thing. And he just shouted, "We've got Joey Cole, you're stuck on the dole. We've got Trevor Sinclair, you're on the welfare. We've got Frank Lampard." And he paused for about a minute. And then he went, "And I've got a brand new BMW.
Yeah.
And I thought, literally, you've got no idea what you're talking about, but fair play, mate. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the away fans are always the
my
best.
My favourite, I mean, I'm a kid from the 80s, so I was a South Bank boy.
Yeah.
Loved a little bit of Knees Up Mother Brown. And when Knees Up Mother Brown was, you know, they used to get their knees up and you'd get pushed towards those uprights. And you learnt the hard way not to be in front of an upright, behind one. Oh, you get squashed. I mean, how health and safety ever allowed that? But my favourite from those days and to this day, still sung, Ludot Moklosko, yeah. It Comes From Near Moscow, is one of my favourite chants.
Yeah.
It has seen the test of time. I'll never get bored of it. And great that we still sing his name. Don't sing the Oh Christian Daly, You're the Love of My Life. Oh Christian Daly, I'd let you shag my wife.
Not
you don't
often.
Hear that very often, but I do like that one too.
Yeah.
So, Russ, are you ever going to bring back My Hammers 11?
Yeah, well, we still do it on the West Ham Network, Gary. Obviously, you're not a subscriber.
Well, so in Gary fact, we're still got one... doing them, yeah?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we still do. We
well, had, appeared on an early episode. I seem to
you
remember.
Did. I think he's one of the first.
Yeah. How many have you done now? I know you were trying to get to 500.
Oh, did well over 500.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, well over. And then so we had a. We've actually got one coming up this week. We've got Matty, who won the Great British Bake Off. He's coming on because he's a hammer, and he's coming on to do a live one.
And how many
week.
Have you up to? Come on, you must know how many.
Honestly, I have no idea because it was on the old channel, and then obviously a lot of. I think we've well over 500. I mean, we've had over 100 and something ex players on there, so it's got to be knocking over 500. I'll figure it out one day. I'll have a look at the old on the old site, but we're still doing it, Gary.
I'm going to ask you a question before we move on from Gary. Are you going to bring back in Russ We Crust? Your lunchtime baking program.
Yes.
Will you be
in Russ We Crust?
Hilarious.
I know. God, I was bored.
Tell the listeners
lockdown.
Because they might not know what is in Russ We Crust.
During lockdown, everyone took up a skill, didn't they? Everyone got bored, and I started the YouTube stuff and. You know, I learned the ukulele and the piano, and then I started doing baking. And I thought, you know what? There must be loads of blokes who haven't got, you know, could impress their missus, impress the one in the love of their life by, making some scones or some pizzas. And so that's what I did. So I did like a little, and I thought in Russ We Crust, I thought it was quite a good, catchy title. And it was quite good fun. I quite enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
Good. He does say, have a great Crimbo. And sorry, I should have said from the other two, and we should say it now in case we forget.
Merry Christmas
to our eight listeners. Well, seven, because
one seven, I'm here
on today. But Merry Christmas. Have a great new year. I'm sure Nigel and John would have said that if I'd have reminded them to, but I'm saying it on their behalf. Very professional. Anyway, we move on to the soul singing superstar, Michael Jr. I have to say sorry to him because he asked me to help him get some tour for him and his family. And do you know James, the guy from Delaware North?
No, I don't.
Who is a Spurs fan and runs the stadium.
No, I don't.
It, I do a few favours for him, and he does a few favours for me. But he didn't answer me, so I wasn't able to sort out Michael Levy Jr.'s. So I have apologised to him and said, I failed you, but the Spurs fan really failed you. So, James, sort your life out. Listen, read your bloody messages. I don't know where you are, but read your bloody messages. Right? It's just, anyway, Michael Levy Jr. says, evening all. Well, as we leave and head back to Tenerife after four fabulous shows up and down the country, two trips to Oh My Cod, in brackets, Russ knows, and a week of good old West Ham results. Wishing you all, more than just a podcast, a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year. Brady out. You don't have to say Brady out, as I don't have to say Brady out, but I'm say it, by the way. I'm you're not legally obliged to say it.
Okay.
Because the others aren't here. Oh My Cod, what does that mean?
Oh My Cod is the local kebab shop in Hornchurch, which I frequent on a Friday, so much so that I pick up the phone and I say, can I put my order in? It's Russ. And they go, yep, no worries. And I don't have to repeat any of my order.
Ah.
And Michael, we've been, because he used to live around here as well, so he keeps on taking pictures of Oh My Cod. And we missed each other by about 10 minutes last week. Picking up my order, him picking up his order.
Have you heard him sing?
I have.
Oh, have you? Where was that? Was that in Tenerife or in here?
It was actually on YouTube, really. I couldn't get to. And also, I used to live in Loughton, and a couple of his shows were in Loughton, but it was just.
I'm going out to Tenerife in March, so I hope to go and see him there.
Ooh.
With the family. So, see you soon, Michael. And thank you for listening all year round. AI Sean, A up, gents. Brady out, Sullivan out, and have a happy Christmas to you all, he says. What is the best and worst related flags you've seen on the ground? And what is the most memorable Boxing Day match? For me, it goes back to 2000 and the 5-0 victory over Charlton. So let's start with the the best and the worst related.
What's the best flag that you've, West Ham flag you've seen, Sean?
I think it's more than just a podcast. That it's strategically placed on the West Ham wall, just by the corner flag, that was picked up by Sky cameras when Dawson did his throw-in. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, naturally.
So you know, not what you know, Russ.
Very true.
A few other channels. I'm surprised you haven't contacted me. A few other channels, YouTube channels, have said, where'd you get the flag made? How can you put one up there? Can you help me?
I reckon one was Nick.
No comment.
I sit next to the guys who do the digi boards.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm just going to get some digi board signs made.
Why don't you have some
West Ham Network?
Why don't you have a West Ham Network one?
Who knows? We might have one.
Ooh.
Who knows?
All right. Do you know what? That flag only cost me £45 with a discount.
They are quite reasonably priced.
They are. And I'll tell you what, a lovely bit of artwork by Canning Town Len.
Was.
You know, and as long as you're not over the top with the advertising and put a URL at the bottom, you know, log in now, you know, click here. You know, it's a bit, you know, subtle advertising. I don't see a problem with it, even though a few people gave us grief. And David Sullivan was not, or Karen Brady was not involved in the flag decision, by the way, at all. Best flag, obviously, more than just a podcast. Worst flag. There are some strange flags.
There are some
like
very
Cheam
strange
Village
flags.
And you know West Ham and everything. But you know, each their own. I love all the flags. And
the thing that really winds me up is the guys with the cardboards. You know, give us your shirt.
Oh, there was one in front of us.
Do you see the size of it?
I've come all the way.
Seats?
You saw the one I posted saying. I didn't know if it was a woman or a bloke, but I think it was a bloke. I've come all the way from Hong Kong and I want, you know, to see Gerard Bowen.
Yeah.
And apparently they were singing, shove your cardboard up your ass.
But it was huge.
It was huge.
You could see it from
And
where
apparently
I sat.
He was at the car park afterwards trying to beg for a shirt. Best flag. It's unfair to say.
For me, it's the Iron Supporting Food Banks flag.
Oh, of course. Good shout.
For charity.
Good shout. Charity. Done a lot. You do a lot of work for charity, don't you?
We do. We love. Yeah. I mean, we, a lot.
Yeah,
of,
that's
a, lot
a
of
really
the West
good
Ham,
shout. Yeah,
a lot of the West Ham's YouTube
good.
Guys
we
do,
we so. Love John, don't we?
Yeah, we love John. He's it's mental. He's, you know, what he does, absolutely crazy. Because he lives nowhere around
him. Yeah, I bumped into him at the on Thursday at the Freiburg game, and who was there? But Nicky Hawkins.
He was.
And Nicky Hawkins was there on his birthday. Happy belated birthday, Nicky. Yep. And Nicky said, you know, like you've come on tonight. You know, I'll come on your podcast. So he gave me his new number, and we're going to get Nicky Hawkins on as a guest presenter like you're on tonight in the future. Because I've met Nicky quite a few times. You know, a long time ago, we used to have a sort of social media group where the club used to invite us in and give us some access under Brady. And, you know, it was all right. You know, you had people like Graham Howlett from KMB.
Yeah.
You had Ian Dow from West Ham Till I Die. You had myself at the moment, at that time, Clarence Hugh. You had Ryan Archer. You had Nicky Hawkins. You had X from West Ham Way. You just had and some other ones, some rare, you know, fanzines and websites and administrators of group. It was really good. And, you know, we get on, believe it or not, a lot of us in social media get on better than people think, right?
We do.
They think we're all competitors and we're trying to outdo each other. But actually, we talk a lot off air, don't we? We're not all enemies, are we?
No, right. I mean, it's like me, Anton and Nick, we've got a hilarious group chat on WhatsApp, you know, considering we both...
Are you sure Nick hasn't stormed out of it? Because every WhatsApp group I've been on with Nick, he hasn't stormed out of the group just yet.
No,
oh, well, you give it time, I tell you.
Yeah, well, we're even worse than other people towards him. So, you know, but I think, no, we everyone does get on this. Yeah, I think it's... If the side do well, if everyone else, all the channels do well when the side plays, you know, obviously since winning the European Conference League, you know, every channel's sort of seen an uplift and stuff like that because more
it's
people
enough
have
to go round, isn't there?
Totally.
I never mind. Look, I don't mind whether I get credited or not. You know, I get a lot of content. It gets regurgitated and people go, oh, they mentioned this on there or they mentioned you. And I go, don't care. Whether it's bad or good, you know, each person has an opinion. And, you know, I only repeat what I'm told. It's not my information. I don't own it. So, you know, everything helps the world go around in the world of content. Anyway, get back to it. Most memorable Boxing Day match.
Oh, that 5-0 was a great shout. I used to love Boxing Day games up at Upton Park particularly. Obviously, we haven't had as many at London Stadium. That 5-0 was a great one. It always seems to be those Boxing Day games. I've got one in my back of my mind, the Coventry City game. But I don't know whether that was in the... Nigel would have told me. But no, I don't think it was. But yeah, that 5-0 was a great shout. Yeah. Yeah, that would do for me, I think.
I'm trying to remember... didn't we beat Man United once on Boxing Day?
I can't remember. Oh. It was Coventry City. 1-0, Paul Kitson scored. Yeah.
I seem to remember Trevor Sinclair scoring.
Quite possibly. It was always those games because you
oh, no, I tell you what, it wasn't Man United. I'm thinking of a completely different game. I think it was Derby. I've got a really bad memory, to be honest. I'm the worst person to ask on Boxing Day games.
Yeah, we did. We probably did. Yeah, it does sound familiar. Derby.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on. Matthew Kemp says, evening, gents. Maxwell Cornet, what's the story? He can play three different positions. What has he done to annoy Moyes? If we sell him, $6 million is a snip. Brady out.
I don't know.
I mean, what I hear about Maxwell Cornet is he's got a very rare calf issue that the specialist has only seen twice in 25 years. You know. And I'm going to be careful what I say, because I want to be fair to him. He has a special training program, I'm told, and he's not truly recovered from it. And so I don't know how that affects his game time and how much game time he can play. All I do know is he was of interest to Everton. Everton, as is the norm, asked for his medical records up front, as they do.
Yep.
And after asking for his medical records, decided not to pursue him as a transfer option. Make of that what you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know this for a fact, but I believe there is some, there's some issue with him that we don't know about. And look, and I'm not saying that he can't play the game or be a professional because, you know, look at Carlton Cole. Look at
Kurt Zouma, to be honest.
Look at Kurt Zouma. A lot of people manage long-term problems. Look at, who was it? Andy Carroll.
Yes.
Nursing an injury all that time before he had his operation. Rumour is he jumped into a swimming pool that was dry. Don't know if that's true or not, so it's just alleged. I'm not sure it's on the sewers now anyway. But anyway, that's, we don't really know, but we believe he may not be fully recovered. Let's move on to Mark Bright. He says, good evening to you all. And he's hoping Rudolph has dodgy carrots and sprays them all over Brady's house. That's not really funny. A quick observation of the last two games. I have seen Steiden and Moyes talking while the players warm up. Sure. What can they be talking about? Because whatever Tim is saying is bloody well working. Brady out. Have a good, great Christmas. I do see this a lot, that lots of people want to give the credit to Steiden.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've not observed that. I don't know if you
he does. But he does that every game, though.
Does he?
Yeah, he's usually there every game.
Oh, he's down by the dugout, is he?
Down by the dugout, usually during warm-up. I remember him, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the Arsenal game in the Cup, and he was talking to Mbama for half an hour, you know, talking about, you know, you can see he gesticulated, he was talking, you know, having a conversation about, I don't know what I'm talking about, but he does talk that he's there every sort of in the pre-match talking. Maybe Moyes is there, maybe someone else, maybe it's,
you know, I've got a picture of them. See if you can get a telephoto lens and get a picture of them.
It's usually, I usually see the back of them, but I will,
anyway, there you go. So didn't know that. Thanks for that. And we will have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
Looking at the state of me and Russ, we will always have a good Christmas.
We'll always have a good Christmas.
Won't we, Russ?
We will have a good Christmas.
We are amply proportioned.
Do you cook?
Oh,
do
yes.
Do you cook at Christmas? Yeah,
oh, yes.
Good man. Good man.
I have got... See, so I'm... my in my family, they call me Chef Shaw, right? Yeah. And I cook every night, actually, and I've cooked a lovely pasta bake tonight with all chilies and onions and peppers and some chicken and some penne pasta and some ginger and some chili and some capers and some spinach and some parsley. It was a great creation, even though I say so myself. But but my fiance is American. My two stepchildren carry American passports. My kids are not with me this Christmas, so they were with me every other Christmas. And so my partner, my fiancée, Shireen, is inviting around her American friend from New York called Melissa, and her two kids, who are both American passport holders, are joining us. So there has to be a bit of an American theme to Christmas. So I will be doing a turkey cram.
Nice.
Got my turkey cram ready, but also a ham is ready. You have to do your roast potatoes in goose fat, right?
Yep, definitely.
Don't tell my vegetarian stepdaughter. Okay. And some mash, because the Americans like the mash. You've got to do some mash. You've got to do cornbread as a side bit, right?
Yep.
And they have this sort of orange ambrosia salad. Have you heard about the ambrosia salad?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
do an ambrosia salad. Obviously, pigs in blankets. My signature dish for Christmas is Brussels sprout steamed with pancetta and Stilton crumbled on them.
It's
my signature dish. Also, family recipe handed down for a long time is our chestnut stuffing, some chestnuts that have been collected locally, roasted with some sausage meat and special ingredient. I can't really go into the recipe. Russ, I'm sure you understand.
Yep.
Green beans, very American. Some peas, some carrots, some Yorkshire puds. What am I forgetting? I've said the ham, pigs in blankets, parsnips, honey, parsnips. Got to put baby carrots with a little bit of honey on them as well. A little little treat.
Nice.
So that's I think that's the Christmas dinner, and then of course about 15 different puddings. you've got pecan pie, American. You've got Christmas pudding. I'm the only one who has that. Yeah. We've got a chocolate cake. We've got a New York cheesecake. And that's even before we get onto the cheese course,
of course.
We haven't talked about cheese for a while. No. And I know this wasn't a question that any of our artists, but I feel two foodies, we've got to talk about it. What cheese will you be eating?
Do you know
this
what?
Christmas?
When it comes to cheese, I'm so boring. I'm so I know.
Russ.
I'm really, cheddar. I'm just literally the most mature cheddar you can get. I've never been sort of. My wife is proper into she loves all different cheese, but me no, neither. She's got the cheese board already for Christmas.
Just a cheddar man.
I'm just a cheddar man. But no, you will. We'll be. I think we're three meeting it this year, so we'll have turkey, rib of beef, and a bit of gammon as well.
All right, okay.
We're going, because we had one bit the other day, but we've just
What's your signature dish? Do you cook for the family?
My family would starve.
Where's the turkey from?
The turkey's it's from Marks and Spencer's. It's not a farm. We got a farm on the other year.
I'll tell you what. Every year, right? I shop in Waitrose, etc. Do you know where my turkey crown's from? Every year,
where?
Lidl.
There you go. I love a bit of Lidl.
Lidl do a really good turkey crown. They've never let me down, you know?
I love Lidl.
Yeah, yeah. You get a lot of good quality at Lidl.
You do. It's really good. I get all my stuff, any of my baking stuff, get it all from Lidl. It's all very good. Very reasonably priced as well.
Yeah. There is a great program, by the way. If you're into cheese, and I know a lot of our listeners are, there's a great program on cheese on Netflix at the moment. And I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's called The Story of Cheese or something.
It must have taken them years to come up with that title.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's The Story of Cheese. It is fascinating how they make it, Curly. You've got to get in. I mean, you've got to have your mouldy cheeses. I'm disappointed in you, Russ, a little bit, that you're
sorry,
a cheddar man.
I know. I've just never warmed.
Is there anything else on the Christmas? Please tell me you like sprouts.
Oh, yeah. I'll have my sprouts.
And your parsnips.
I find parsnips a bit disappointing because I think I'm going to eat a carrot, a potato, and it turns out to be a parsnip.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have all the various.
Will you cook your roast potatoes in goose fat?
Yes.
Always.
And I've just got myself today. Mrs. Budden has treated me early to it's called a Megazone air fryer. So I've just did a roast chicken today in it, and it was bloody good.
Nice.
Megazone.
There you go. Anyway, it's not a food podcast, as they say. I forget where we get up to. Let's go to Top Fan. He was there on both games. Richard Dodds. Dodsy.
Oh, I love Richard.
Dodsy. He says, I'm not going to do his accent because I won't do it proper. unless you could do it. What is Russ's favourite moment from Upton Park and from London Stadium, both in his job and outside his job? Brady, out. Merry Christmas to you all and the seven listeners.
Oh, good old Dodsy.
Favourite moment from Upton Park and London Stadium, both in his job and outside his job. That's a difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it does sort of encompass both my job in, because what we do, because I'm there so bloody early. Favourite moment has to be the last Upton Park last game of the season.
Oof.
I was last game at the bowling. I was there, silly o'clock, about 8 o'clock in the morning of the night of the day, because I was actually on jury service that afternoon.
Oh, really?
So I parked the car at the stadium, and I thought, fuck it, I'm going to walk around, because there was no one there. So you could just, I mean, you could just walk into Upton Park sometimes. But I just spent an hour walking around, sitting where I used to sit with my granddad, and yeah, sat in the changing rooms, had a wee in the changing rooms, that type of thing, you know, just saying goodbye, because I knew when I came back it was going to be rammed full of people. So that was pretty special. London Stadium, I mean, that Sevilla game will always stick in my mind. And hopefully we'll have another one coming up in March here, you know, because, you know, there's something special.
I'll tell you a secret. Well, it's not much of a secret because I've published the video. I played Bubbles at Upton Park before it was knocked down.
There you go.
So your old friend and fellow DJ, Leon Hyde,
yep,
still had a pass. And after the last game, the week after, he blanked me in with his pass, past security. They were doing charity games at the time. What's his name? Brayford, the ex-West Ham footballer.
Brayley.
Bertie, yeah. Brayley.
Bertie.
Bertie, that's it. Bertie Brayley was arranging, and we're up in the DJ booth. And, you know, the old one by the sign.
Yep.
And so I got to play Bubbles when people came out on the pitch and left again. And I videoed that. And so that was my great moment. But we walked around the whole, I mean, the place was empty and about to be knocked down. And I ransacked because it was, you know, it was all going. So yeah. I got the controller for the scoreboard, which I gave away on Ham's Chat, actually, yeah, as a prize for Isla Caton.
Yeah.
And that, if you remember, I think you were involved in that as well. Yeah. I got the logbook from the DJ booth of all the technical issues for the stadium, lights and sound system.
God, that went on for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I gave that to Nigel. That's in his collection now. I had the script from the Farewell to the Bowling, yeah, with all, and that was from the DJ's booth. I gave that to Nigel as well, as did the original Bubbles CD that was in the DJ booth. I gave that to Nigel. I gave him a black bag of stuff. There, from the boardroom, I got various tea, coffee. I got a sign on the toilet. I ripped off a picture of wallpaper outside the boardroom that had funny Bobby Moore on it. So literally, I ransacked the place.
Yeah.
The bulldozers are coming in the next week.
Yes, exactly.
And the auction already gone on. So I just ransacked anything that was not locked down. I put in this black bag.
I was gutted. I didn't do that myself.
And it stayed there. In the bottom of my wardrobe for a few years. And I took video of all this. And I will have to publish these videos because I went in all places, you know, up in the gantry. And,
yeah,
you know, I just went everywhere and filmed it as a little memento. And I will have to publish these. But I went to, I promised Nigel that I would give him for his collection. And I went to his daughter's wedding, actually. Myself and John went to his daughter's wedding. And his wife was there, Sam. And I gave him over this black bag full of stuff. And it was brimming. And the look his wife gave me was... God.
More for the shed.
Fucking I hell. Just had a giving him such more shit for his shed?
Oh, but God.
Some of it is really collective. I mean, it would only mean something to...
Yeah, it only means something to him, yeah. That scoreboard was a nightmare. I remember that.
I mean, the scoreboard controller.
Didn't finish in 45 minutes.
I've got pass. I've got jackets, high-vis jackets, same West Ham. I've got press passes. I've got the lot.
Brilliant.
And it's all in Nigel's.
I've just had you know, when you sort of have like you sort of go back and you sort of your mind drifts back.
Yeah.
I talk about outside of West Ham.
Yeah.
One of my favourite memories was. Was singing karaoke at a West Ham Christmas party in the old Bobby Moore. They had that sort of big sort of function room, didn't they, in the Bobby Moore stand. Singing karaoke, I think it was Delilah with Gianluca Nani and Scott Duxbury.
Oh,
it
excellent.
Just popped in my head, and I forgot because Gianluca Nani was sweating profusely, and I remember that just for some reason, just talking about Upton Park, it just dropped back into my mind. Yeah, so funny.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, I'll tell you what, Upton Park, just before they closed, myself and John wanted to treat our wives. So we took them
to a night in the hotel.
Right? And the night we were playing, there was a boxing match downstairs.
Yeah.
Literally downstairs was a boxing match with loads of people. So it was really noisy. The room's only 60, but you look over the pitch. I don't know if you ever stayed in it.
Yeah.
And we went down to reception, the normal reception. And I said, where can we eat locally? He went, I wouldn't eat around here, mate. I wouldn't walk around here at night. You know, you'll have to get an Uber or a cab. And we did. And we got back at like midnight, and the boxing was still going on, so you couldn't get much sleep. And the next morning, there was a church underneath us. They hired the room out for church, and there was this evangelical singing and praising the Lord and everything. So we went and complained. The manager said, "Look, no, it's great waking up and looking out of your window and looking at the pitch and some great memories, but we can get a wink of sleep." And we made a complaint to the hotel manager, who gave us compensation was a free night stay.
Another one
at the hotel. And we only had about 3 months before it was knocked down. Hence to say, we still have that credit voucher, which was never used.
But it was
an experience.
It was strange because you had the lights on the pitch to sort of like...
Oh, yeah, the sort of grow lights.
And it was like a little sort of like an alien invasion on the pitch from under the...
Which still is. I'm sure you've been there at night after, you know, I've been there late on a non-match day and those grow lights are on a lot of the time.
Yeah, but when you're asleep and you wake up and you've got these flimsy curtains...
Yeah.
And my mate used to do the TVs around the screen, around the stadium. I got him a job for the company. And because on the hotel or close circuit TV, you could order a bit of blue. Someone had ordered a bit of blue on the Saturday during the game, and it came on all the TVs.
Bit of blue,
and my mate Tom, his face just dropped. He's like, and then Ron, one of the stadium manager at the time, was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Oh, Ron, yeah. Do you know Geordie Ron. Ben? I assume you know Geordie.
Yeah, I know Geordie Ben. Yeah.
Well, Geordie Ben, I'm sure you know this. Used to live in the hotel.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
When he first started, he did, didn't he?
Well, he lived there for a long time. He moved his family to Florida. I remember him telling me, and his family were in Florida. He used to live at the stadium at the hotel. He used to fly back every few months to see them.
Wow. That would be great, yeah.
I mean, Geordie Ben, I mean, he's a CAO now. He's still there, and I still say hello when I see him, but I haven't seen him very much lately. I hope he's still around.
Yeah, he's still there.
And obviously a big Newcastle fan, being Geordie Ben. Bell in Innsworth. But I don't know if you know the story of where he started.
No.
He was going back to Terry Brown. He was a security guard at the holiday camp that Terry Brown owned, and Terry Brown brought him in to run the security at West Ham.
Because before then you had John Ball, and then you had Ron, who was his son, brother-in-law, and then John retired, and then Ron took over, and then Ron left, and then Ben took over. Yeah,
yeah. How about Dougie Robinson? Is he still around?
I haven't seen him for a while. I think he was. I knew he was doing stuff at the training ground, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, because obviously when we moved to stadium. Anyway, we digress, don't we?
We digress.
This is what happens. So let's move over to Adam Leatherbarrow.
Oh, Adam.
All right, lads. Hope all is well, and you're all looking forward to Christmas. So, Russ, DJ, Russy, B, Budden, what's it like having the best view in the house? All the best. P.S. Sean, what is Kieran Maguire coming back on? I think you mean when is Kieran Maguire coming back on? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll answer that first, Adam. We, according to my senior source, we've made a loss. The figures are coming out in December. So once the figures come out, I'm sure I'll have Kieran Maguire back on in January to talk us through the figures. So I'm sure he'll be our guest soon. So what's it like having the best view in the house? Or is it the best view in the house?
It's quite a good view. It's quite a good view. It is a lot of stairs.
You get to talk to Will Steele, yeah?
You get to talk to Will Steele. You do indeed. And you do talk to him.
And he still tells you nothing.
It's a good view. There's a lot of stairs, I'll be honest. There's a lot of stairs because you're right at the top. Anyone who obviously is in that top, that third bit, there's a lot of stairs. But that is a good view. It is a good view. And, you know, it's, you know, I get to watch the game every home game. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, yeah, for a West Ham fan, it's a great thing to do.
Cheers, Adam. Anthony Collins. Finally got around to watch Everybody's Second Team.
Great show.
And it's well worth the watch. Very good film. Enjoyed seeing the legend that is the East End poet throughout as well. That's, for those who don't know, that's Canning Town Lynn's film on Prime, Everybody's Second Film, which is about West Ham and obviously got people like Alvin Martin in it and David Cross and other people. If you were a player, which song would you have on the dressing room pre-game? Also, the NFL has a programme called Hard Knocks where they film a team's pre-season, a different team each year, as a documentary. Do you think that would work in the Prem? And if so, which team, apart from West Ham, would you most like to see? Brady out. So, let's start with what, if you were a player, I can see you or me as a player, Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, two centre backs wouldn't get past us, would they?
Exactly.
What song would you have in the dressing room?
Oh, I don't know. It'd have to be something to get you going. So it would be, I'm gonna go really, really cheesy and just say like Rocky theme tune or something like that, just to get yourselves up for it. You know, we did this stuff the other day. Tony did players' songs. They had to pick some songs and he played them, and they were all bloody awful. They, you know, nothing was like inspirational.
I would go for, I'm a bit 80s dance, either Darude Sandstorm or Insomnia.
Oh, yeah,
love a little bit. Yeah, you know, that could, that builds up. I like the build up, you know.
That's a good wee song, that is, because it's about 8 minutes long. The full song, so it's a good song.
Talking of DJ, I don't know if you know, but I came out of retirement 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I DJ'd my Christmas party, my work Christmas party. It's the first time in a long, long time I DJ'd. And do you know what? You know, I've kept the setup and I keep it in the loft and I do very rare gigs, but I loved it. I've got real retro. I've got fuzz lights. I've got the old, none of this LED shit. I've got good old fashioned traffic lights. I had a smoke machine. And I was just loving it. I miss my DJ days. So I'm sure every year now at Christmas, I'm going to come out and do a gig. In fact, I've been asked to do another gig on New Year's Eve for the family, actually. So since I've got the disco gear, it hasn't gone back in the loft. I might do one. Anyway, go Love back. Which song? You've been asked to answer that. Hard Knocks, NFL. What documentary, if apart from West Ham, what, who would you like most like to see? Who would be the interest? I mean, I've seen the one with Pep. I mean, yeah, in some ways, this is all really, you know, I've seen the one with, I like Jose Mourinho.
That was good. Newcastle one was okay.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it, I think. You know, I don't know if Anthony's a US person, but we sort of do this already in the Prem, and it's
pretty boring, I think. I find I love those shows.
It's about the character of you. You have to be a personality. Would really. I must admit. I know he said apart from it. I want to see David Moyes. Yeah. I want to see David Moyes in the dressing room. I want to see David Moyes on the training ground, and I want to see this imaginary everyone. You know, there's war in the dressing room, as some of the anti-Moyes people would let us believe. I don't believe it. I think they're all together, and it's really nice.
I think there's a group. I think they're probably the most together they have been.
Yeah,
I think, so that's why. I think when Declan left, I think he brought them all back together by leaving. Yeah. I think Everton, because obviously everything they're going through, all the money troubles and being sold to the Americans, and I think Sean Dyche is quite a funny character as well. I think that'd be quite a good one. I think I'd love West Ham. I remember years and years and years ago there was talk of BBC doing something.
Now I think we've been approached a few times.
But yeah, because Jack did something for the ladies, didn't he?
Well, do you know what? I saw Jack on the DLR yesterday. Jack did do. Jack was on the DLR on my DLR train at Pudding Mill Lane. So there you go. He was moving with general public. I was right behind him. He got off the DLR. He had a suit carrier. You know, he's very well dressed with suit trousers and shoes. And he walked down Pudding Mill Lane, got off, went through the security on Bridge 4 like everyone else, carried on and went in the corporate entrance. And I thought, good on you, right? Not everyone comes in a chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce. That was probably an hour and a half before kickoff.
Fair play.
Yeah, fair play, Jack. If it was you, Jack, it looked like him anyway. It was a spitting image of him. So where were we? We were Dan Numbers.
Yeah.
Dan Numbers. Is fatigue really the Premier League's fault for not scheduling the season for a 13-man squad? After winning the signed Paqueta a Paqueta shirt at the start of the year in the club competition, has Sean had it insured after his free assist yesterday? Free Nigel Kahn. I didn't win a Paqueta shirt, so that is Dan Numbers, that is an absolute lie. I've not even been lucky in the ballot this year because I haven't entered any. So, no, I don't have a Paqueta shirt. I don't know why. Nigel does not need to be freed. He came out of his self-imposed sabbatical, and he was on the podcast on episode 22, which you can still hear. He would be with us now with Question Time. One, it will be 3 hours longer, but two, he's eating his
Beef Eater.
Beef Eater, that's one. Thank you for getting the words out.
No problem.
Right, next question. Balloon Dawson. Did Emperor King Jong, senior source, cancel Question Time last week to manage the fallout from the Fulham game? This Stalinist control of the podcast is an insult to West Ham democracy. When will the Shed Man pack him working away in the land of Dodsey? Is he working the door of Dodsey's favourite entertainment parlour? Legacy fans out, Dolly Bird's in. Look, whatever your real name is, Ballon is not it. We had things on. We were tired, we were ill, and we were pissed off with a 5-0. So excuse us for not... We do this for free, right? Don't believe that we make a lot of money out of this podcast. We do this because we enjoy doing it. And after a 5-0 drubbing, when people had colds and everything, and they have lives and parties to go to, sometimes we don't feel like Question
it's
Time,
true,
right?
Though. Yeah, you're right. It's true. It's like, you know, obviously the YouTube stuff, it's like we have probably quite a positive outlook on things, and you know, you get dug out if you've got a positive outlook, and same as you get dug out if you've got a negative outlook as well. So it is tough when you lose, you know, same as every fan.
Yeah.
So I can totally get that, mate.
So I think we've only got a few comments left. Steve Lines, top fan. it says here. Evening, gents. Hope you are well. Strange season we're having, but I'll keep taking these wins. No football-related question, but what's in your Christmas dinner? Well, we've answered that already,
Preempted it.
Have a fantastic Christmas. And as always, thanks for the fantastic effort you boys put in over the year. Thank you very much, Steve. And I'm glad I answered it, even though it wasn't a question answered. I sort of knew it was coming.
Preempted.
Mick Clifford says, Russ, a.k.a. the Button Monkey. I'm the one who gave you that moniker, wasn't I? I'm sorry, Russ. I didn't mean it.
Everyone needs a nickname, don't they?
Yeah, the ones I've got ain't full stooge. Yeah. No, I didn't pick that one, did I?
I'll take Butter Monkey.
Yeah. Have a great Christmas, all of you. Great autumn and half the year. The striker question. Do you think we're just getting a loan deal as opposed to signing a big striker? Or will Moy stick with what has been working for us for the last couple of weeks? Sean, any updates on the Mbeumo contract, or is he definitely off? Russ, what's the worst balls up you ever making on the old cockpit of Buttons? Brady out. And thanks for Gavin's email. Nods head in approval. We'll talk about that. So Mick Clifford, if you don't know, is the guy who collects shirts.
Oh, he's brilliant.
And wrote a book, probably still available on Amazon if you want to buy it.
Available
and in the
club shop, yeah.
Well, do you know what? I'll tell you a little story here. Went in the club shop on Thursday and on Sunday to try and buy a Christmas jumper for my last day. They're not doing Christmas jumpers in the shop. You've got to order them online.
I had the same thing on Thursday. I went to get one because Mrs. Budden said, look, I haven't got your Christmas jumper yet. The only place they've got is at the club shop. So I turned up. They didn't have any Christmas jumpers out. They said, we haven't got any. Yeah. She then phones up the club shop, but it's apparently there's a different shop in the club shop, which is the online shop, and they sent the jumper to Romford. They sent the jumper to Romford for my wife to pick up on the weekend. And I said, I've got my one, yeah.
Yeah, well, mine's coming tomorrow. Wednesday. I'm wearing it to my Christmas sort of secret Santa on Friday for my last day of work, and then I'm wearing it on Saturday to... I hope you'll be wearing yours on Saturday.
Of course, I have to, yeah.
Well, let's see if we match. It's the latest one, right? Yeah, well, how embarrassing will that be?
But what is it, though? Is it the one with the ball balls, or is it the one without... There's
it's not ball balls. Now, here's a big question, right? Yeah. This is what the listeners really want to know. Yeah. What size is yours?
It's a 3XL.
Oh, I've only gone 2XL.
Oh, you see, you dropped.
I've got a way to catch up.
Keep going, Sean.
I used to be XL, now I'm 2XL. There you go. I aspire to be a 3XL. Maybe next year. Striker question. Do you think we get a loan deal as opposed to... Do you know what? I think loans are less likely to happen. Moyes doesn't like them, so I don't see him getting a long striker. And he has said, as we said on episode 22, he doesn't think he needs a striker. So I think you got it on the nail. I think he'll stick with what he's got because it's hard to get a striker. So let's not just try and fill a position. Let's keep what we've got. He asked, any doubts on Mbeumo contract? Look, I don't know if he's definitely off. My senior source says they are going to try and do everything. The agent's being a dick. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The agent's being a dick. He's been there since he's eight. They think it's all about the money. Look, I know a footballer's life and career is short, but I hope a deal can be done. The club hope a deal can be done. The manager hopes a deal can be done. Yeah. And the secret source, the senior source, hopes the deal can be done. So, Russ, now it's over to you. What is the worst balls up you remember making on your button jockey?
Well, as I said, you got to be careful what you do sometimes. I did, because if we lose a game, I do tend to play generic rock and don't think about it. And we lost. I remember Upton Park losing to Man City and put on Oasis without realising, and was lambasted for that. But I remember once not even thinking about it, and we'd lost a game, and I'd put on Paul Weller, Changing Man, and someone, it wasn't Moose, but it was someone like that. And even the DJ thinks it's time to change the man in the dugout. And I was like, what? I just, you know, you've got to be so careful. But that's probably my biggest balls up, was playing Oasis when Man City won. That's not too bad. It's quite bad. But yeah, you got to be, yeah, You gotta be a bit careful.
Yeah. I when I was doing Pirate Radio Disc Jockey, I did that live on air. You know, I missed perhaps a button and dead air. That there's nothing worse than dead air.
Dead air is a crime.
When you're doing radio, right? Dead air. You press the wrong button and there's that dead air. You think, oh. And it seems like an eternity.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do radio?
I used to do it at uni.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I used to do it at uni. But no, sometimes, you know, we've had times where, you know, the computer, it was at Upton Park particularly because everything was falling apart, where I remember Jeremy leaning over to take his phone charger out of the plug socket and somehow managed to short everything in the control room and just walked off and didn't realise. And there was another time where the computer was all smoking and stuff. But yeah, that was not really that much of a balls up. But yeah, always used to fall apart that place, cool. Bless it.
And Mick at the end says, and thanks for Sean for Gavin's email. So you must know Gavin Stanley.
Yeah.
So I've known Gavin for years. I mean, back since 2010. And look, everybody knows who knows him. He's a massive gooner, right? He's a massive Arsenal fan. And he has been since day one. And if you follow him on Instagram, you know, he wears his Arsenal shirt all the time. But, you know, he used to be head of ticketing. He's now head of retail. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And Mick approached me and said, look, my publisher says, can you try and get my book in the shop? I know it's a long shot, but... And I said, well, have a email Gavin. Here's his email address. Tell him... you're a friend of mine and I said to email him and Gavin came through and you know, the book is being stocked at the shop and
it's in the Christmas catalogue.
Yeah. Well done, you know. Not everybody there's sometimes this thing that everybody needs to be a West Ham fan to work at West Ham, but it doesn't work like that. You'll know this, Russ. Yeah. Most of the people that work out do not support West Ham. You know, I'm not gonna name them all, but there are a number of Spurs fans, right?
Yep.
There are a number of Orient fans, there are a number of Arsenal fans. Well, we talked about Geordie Benn, a Newcastle fan. But the one thing they have in common, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, is there's a part of them that sort of ends up, they spend so much time at West Ham, a part of them sort of becomes attached to West Ham. And even Geordie Benn says to me, you know, it pays my mortgage at the end of the day, Sean. So I care just as much about West Ham as I do about Newcastle.
Totally.
And I'm sure it's the same with Gavin. He spent so long at West Ham. He can't be detached from us winning and everything else.
Totally. And I think, you know, there is always a nucleus of a lot of the older people who work there, like, you know, in terms of like the mascots and the security, some of the old security guards, obviously West Ham Key. Fans.
I mean, look, Nikki Key she won't mind me saying this, the ticketing director is a massive Aston Villa fan. She's a season ticket holder and she was head of ticketing at Aston Villa and she's a Brummie. So, you know, she's a massive Villa fan. So there's nothing wrong with it at all.
There's nothing, but there's still, as you said, you know, Martin, myself, Chris, you know, obviously we're all big West Ham fans, and so you know, there's still people there who fight the fight, so to speak.
Dan Francis as well. Don't always get on with Dan, but he's a big West Ham fan as well. Yeah,
definitely.
Most of the other media are not. I'm not going to call them out. But
a lot of the guys who came over from the Upton Park, like Gary on the, who does the. He does the mascots, massive West Ham fan, and as I said, the old security guards at the tunnel, the Brothers Grimm. You know, it's great.
Anyway, let's move on to Jason Backhouse. Evening, gents. Two great games. Had some Germans sitting in front of us for the Freiburg game. We were two up, and they turned around and said, why is the stadium so quiet? You're 2-0 up. I told them it's nothing new. It's normally like that. Anyway... Anywho, on to the Wolves game. In the first half, I thought we were outstanding. Fast-paced, quick passing, and a couple of fantastic goals from Kudus. However, I thought the second half was a different matter. Wolves came back into us, and for me, it could have turned out very differently if their goal had been allowed. They were in ascendancy, and the crowd was getting frustrated. Overall, a superb couple of games. A long may Moyes get the reins of our midfield. On to my question. with Christmas just round the corner, and what is the tackiest piece of West Ham merchandise you've ever been given? Have a great Christmas, gents. Keep up the good work. And just for Len, who's not here, Brady out. Well, we are not Brady. Just to be clear, myself and Russ are not Brady out, so we will not be repeating that. This is not a Brady out podcast. If anything, it's an appreciation. Do you like you? You must have met Karen a few times.
Every time I've interacted with her, she's always been very nice to me.
Yeah, me too.
Same as David. Same as obviously Mr. Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the boy, the Sullivans as well. I did. Me and John. And David Jr., we did a 17-mile walk last year.
Yeah.
And fair play, he was on his phone all the time.
He's still on a 3XL. If you'd done that again, you might have been down to a 2XL.
If I did the full marathon, I could have got down to 2, but yeah.
Yeah. So, your question, which I think is the last question.
Yeah. Tackiest piece of merchandise.
Tackiest piece of merchandise.
It's not one I've been given, but it's one I've had commissioned. It still counts. So this time last year, actually, I think it was literally this day last year, myself, my daughter, my wife flew out to Disney. We spent Christmas over in Disney and New Year. And I got someone to make a pair of West Ham Mickey ears for me.
Oh.
Because yeah, I'm, you know, I always represent home or away, you know, always represent. And so I got someone on Etsy, and bless her, she must have been an old dear, because like the actual badge wasn't quite on the, it was on the wonk a little bit and the crossed hammers, but it was still fun. And actually, funny enough, I was walking through wearing them, walking through our complex in Disney, and this bloke was playing table tennis, and he stopped, and he just turned and went, "Russ! It's Russ," and he was a subscriber to the West Ham Network.
Oh,
he went, "You've made my holiday," and I went, "Hang on, this is, you're in Disney. It's Christmas, and some 3XL bloke with crap Mickey Mouse ears." But anyway, it was lovely. So yeah, so that was my worst one, but I'd actually got it made.
I once got given some West Ham bubble bath. Do you remember Matey?
Yes,
it was like a bottle like that in West Ham, and also a West Ham rubber duck. Also, I was once given, although I must admit I used to collect them, a West Ham gnome once.
Yes, well, yeah, a few of them.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah,
we still got a few of them.
No, because they all, because when we have, you know, we had housework done or gardening work, you know, done, it was all, they ended up breaking. They'd break so quickly.
Yeah. There's so much tack now. I love when I recently went in the club shop, they still sell West Ham season ticket holders. They've been trying to sell for 10 years.
And you're thinking, well,
you don't give them away. You do for certain people, but you don't give them out anymore.
No. I did buy the West Ham onesie, yes, because I couldn't buy the Christmas jumper, and I bought my dog a West Ham jumper, but it was far too big, and so I took it back, and I was like, what shall I get? I didn't know what to get, didn't need a shirt, so I did actually purchase a West Ham onesie, which is very comfortable, actually, yeah. But yeah.
Well, there you go. Quite short for us today, only 13 questions, which this is quite nice, because it's quite late. Russ, I want to ask you a question because some of the listeners won't have heard. How did you get into a gig of... you've just sent me the picture of the West Ham ears. I love that. I'm going to put that on the Facebook group. They do look crap, by the way.
They are crap.
Yeah, that's a definite winner. How did you get into being the chief button monkey? DJ at Upton Park? How did it work?
So 23 years ago, I was at university. I was at Loughborough, and I messaged Jeremy Nicholas at the time because I was thinking about becoming
good old Jem.
So I messaged him because I was looking at maybe getting into sports journalism. I didn't know what he wanted to do, and he was at TalkSport at the time, and he said, and he was covering East Midlands, which was obviously Loughborough. BBC is the Jan Findy man, and so he said, "I'll come give this a hand at TalkSport, be my runner." And I thought, actually, that'd be good experience and stuff. He was then sacked, as they did every sort of 6 months, they'd sack everyone and bring a whole new presenter team. But it was just as the Rio stand was being unveiled, and he went, "Well, I used to be pitch side, now I'm up like at the top by the scoreboard. Why don't you come and help me at West Ham?" an idea, yeah, sure. And literally, that was it. And 23 years later, kept my nose clean and came over with a move. So,
do you still keep in contact with Jim?
Not really. Occasionally.
He was one of the first guests on like episode number 2 on this podcast 13 years ago, you know?
Brilliant. No, I like
that. If you go back, it's still actually on the back catalogue. If you go back to season 1, episode 2 or 3, I can't remember, Jem was one of our first guests when we used to be asked to actually talk to famous people, players or other people. Not to say you're not famous for us.
I know what you mean. No, we still message each other occasionally, yeah.
Do you know the real story of why he lost his job?
Yes, but yeah. Don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it on air?
No.
Why not?
No.
I'm sure I've told the story before.
You probably have.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I heard Brady's version of it, and I've heard his version. Maybe we'll save that for another day. Maybe you and I and Jem will have... Get him on. Maybe I'll get him on. I've still got his number. Maybe I'll get Jem on and say, look, this is what Brady told me. And this is what... and see what his response is, because you're right, maybe I should give him the right to reply.
Yeah,
I think good.
So. It was so long, it was like, I was thinking about it the other day, it was must have been 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago.
Well, yeah,
Martin took over.
Well, it must be, because that's when I interviewed yeah, him 13 years ago when we started the podcast.
Crazy.
And he was still the presenter at the time.
Yeah.
And he'd marched into Brady's office, and the rest is history. So much water under the bridge.
Yeah.
So, good luck for Saturday. What time will you be getting to the ground?
So I am there. We are there. Well, our call time is 4 hours before kickoff. So was it 12:30? So technically, I should be there 8:30. But as part of the West Ham network, we always do a match day morning outside the stadium. It's like
right,
a live.
Okay.
So that'll be about 8 o'clock. So, I'll be up early.
What do you mean, we? I mean, Anton doesn't leave Scotland, does he?
He doesn't leave Scotland. He's got three children. He's got very young. He's gutted. He's got a season ticket. I mean, bless him.
He's got a season ticket, has he?
Yeah.
He just doesn't use it.
And he's hardly gone this year because of the kids. And yeah. And Freddie, he's eldest, he's a massive hammer. So they try and get to as many away games as possible. But... yeah, it's just been absolutely... And obviously Holly's going to drop any day now.
Right.
So there's going to be hopefully another... You know,
you talk like I know these people. I don't watch YouTube.
You know Holly.
Do I know Holly?
Holsey, you know Holly.
I don't know Holly.
Yeah, you do.
Holly?
She's on Twitter.
Do I know Holly, though?
Yeah, you probably do. She's been around for a long time.
Oh, right. Anyway. Is she on your channel, then?
She's on our channel. Yeah, Holly. So there's the three of us. Yeah, it's all good fun.
No, I won't say that, because that would be inappropriate. I was going to say, are you the father?
No.
That would be completely inappropriate.
Dan is. Good luck to him.
Oh, good. Well done, Dan. I see. I don't know
who he is. Don't know who Dan is, yeah.
I don't. It's not Dan Numbers, is it?
No.
No. No. Anyway. Look, Russ, thanks for standing in.
Pleasure.
Len, I know I give you grief about being a button monkey.
It's all jokes.
But do you know what? It's jealousy. I'd love to have that job, pressing the button to play the music. You know, it's great. Play the tune, sing the tune. Dennis Waterman, for those who don't know. I want to wish our listeners a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Thank you to our 8 listeners for listening to us all year round. You know, you are why we do the show. Russ, you're one of our listeners. You are the reason we do the show. We don't do it for money. We don't do it for fame. We don't do it for flags. We do it because people listen, and no other reason. And it's fun, right? We do it because it's fun. When it stops being fun, as they say in gambling, when the fun stops, stop.
Very true. Very true.
Anyway, want to see a picture of you in your 3XL Christmas
jumper?
I'll
be there. Don't worry. Always take
Saturday,
a picture.
I'll take one too, and we'll see if they match. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Anyway, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Russ.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
I think I've probably got the biggest win rate out of a certain amount of managers as well. So I think if you were, you're putting it that way, that's what I do. I win. And I'm
coming. There you go. That's what I do. I win.
That's what I do. I win.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.